Chapter 1. What surprised me most about seeing my sister dead is the lingering smirk on her face. Her pale lips are turned up ever so slightly, and someone has filled in her patchy eyebrows with a black pencil. The top half of her face is angry, like she's ready to stab someone, and the bottom half is almost smug. This is not the Olga I knew. Olga was as meek and fragile as a baby bird. I wanted her to wear the pretty purple dress that didn't hide her body like all of her other outfits, but Ama chose the bright yellow one with the pink flowers I've always hated. It was so unstylish, so classically Olga. It made her either 4 or 80 years old. I could never decide which. Her hair is just as bad as the dress. Tight, crunchy curls that remind me of a rich lady's poodle. How cruel to let her look like that. The bruises and gashes on her cheeks are masked with thick coats of cheap foundation, making her face haggard, even though she was only 22. Don't they pump your body full of strange chemicals to prevent your skin from stretching and puckering, to keep your face from resembling a rubber mask? Where did they find this mortician, the flea market? My poor older sister had a special talent for making herself less attractive. She was skinny and had an okay body, but she always managed to make it look like a sack of potatoes. Her face was pale and plain. Never a single drop of makeup. What a waste. I'm no fashion icon, far from it, but I do feel strongly against dressing like the elderly. Now she's doing it from beyond the grave, but this time it's not even her fault. Olga never looked or acted like a normal 22-year-old. It made me mad sometimes. Here she was, a grown-ass woman, and all she did was go to work, sit at home with our parents, and take one class each semester at the local community college. Every once in a while, she'd go shopping with Ama, or to the movies with her best friend, Angie, to watch terrible romantic comedies about clumsy but adorable blonde women who fall in love with architects in the streets of New York City. What kind of life is that? Didn't she want more? Didn't she ever want to go out and grab the world by the balls? Ever since I could pick up a pen, I've wanted to be a famous writer. I want to be so successful that people stop me on the street and ask, "Oh my God, are you Julia Reyes, the best writer who has ever graced this earth?" All I know is that I'm going to pack my bags when I graduate and say, "Peace out, motherfuckers." But not Olga. Saint Olga, the perfect Mexican daughter. Sometimes I wanted to scream at her until something switched on in her brain. But the only time I ever asked her why she didn't move out or go to a real college, she told me to leave her alone in a voice so weak and brittle, I never wanted to ask her again. Now I'll never know what Olga would have become. Maybe she would have surprised us all. Here I am thinking all of these horrible thoughts about my dead sister. It's easier to be pissed, though. If I stop being angry, I'm afraid I'll fall apart until I'm just a warm mound of flesh on the floor. While I stare at my chewed-up nails and sink deeper into this floppy green couch, I hear Ama wailing. She really throws her body into it, too. "Mija! Mija!" she screams, as she practically climbs inside the casket. Apa doesn't even try to pull her off. I can't blame him, because when he tried to calm her down a few hours ago, Ama kicked and flailed her arms until she gave him a black eye. I guess he's going to leave her alone for now. She'll tire herself out eventually. I've seen babies do that. Apa has been sitting in the back of the room all day, refusing to speak to anyone, staring off into nothing, like he always does. Sometimes I think I see his dark mustache quivering, but his eyes stay dry and clear as glass. I want to hug Ama and tell her it's going to be okay, even though it's not and never will be, but I feel almost paralyzed, like I'm underwater and made of lead. When I open my mouth, nothing comes out. Besides, Ama and I haven't had that kind of relationship.